Okay, it's an incredible schus to be back together, to learn Torah together, to gain hisoros together, to gain chizik together. Bez Hashem is baruch. The shir tonight, all the chizik, all the zoros, all the Torah is being shared, is being sponsored for a special refuah shleima for the father of one of our chevra, who needs big tefillos and refuos, Bez Hashem is baruch, Avram Chaim ben Yenta Falka. I ask everybody to take down that name. I sent it out earlier today. Avram Chaim ben Yenta Falka, who again is the father of one of our chevra, and having a procedure tomorrow, surgery tomorrow. We should all have him in our tefillos tonight, have him all in our tefillos tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, Bez Hashem is baruch. And Mirtz Hashem, we're going to see Bez Hashem, Besuras Tovos, Refuos, and Yeshuos, Farvim Chayim, Besuch, Shar Chal Yisrael. It's also just very special because it's being sponsored by a bunch of the Chevra who are close friends with this man's daughter who's part of our Chevra and had in mind and wanted to have Torah and Chizik, Bez Hashem, to bring Refuos and Yeshuos and Chizik to the family. And during these days of Sfiras Omer, it's incredible. Just on personally, I'm so taken aback to see the care, the empathy, the care that we have for each other. And Baruch Hashem, that itself, even before any of the Torah, before any of the Chizik, that itself, Bez Hashem, should be the schus of big Besuras Tovos, Refuos, and Yeshuos. You know, Moshe Yoram that I'm sharing these days, I start off by saying, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, I hope Bez Hashem is Baruch, that this will be the final Zoom share that we have. It's true, on some level there's convenience, and I know for a lot of you sometimes you can't make it out to the Shiurim in person, and it's a little bit easier not having to travel, and especially those who don't live in the five towns or wherever I'm giving Shiur at that particular night. But at the same time, Eino Doyme, it's not comparable learning together in person, being together. And Mirtz Hashem, this will be the final one. Mirtz Hashem, by the next year, we'll be together in person. And it's mamish been a long time. It's already been over 6 weeks that we've all been in this situation, in this matzav, this machla that's taken over the world and taken over our community. And for most of us, it's difficult in many ways, but I want to specifically talk about our ruchnius, our spirituality. It's because so many of us, our ruchnius is somewhat dependent on hisoros, on inspiration that comes from the outside, that comes from going to shul or going to hear shiurim. And like I said, Eino Doyme, yes, it's true, it's beautiful, we have Zoom, and we could see each other tonight, Baruch Hashem, at least I could see some of you. It's a schus to feel a little bit more like we're together. But it's not the same as being in person and feeling the motion of being in person. And the chizik, so much of the chizik that we're used to, again, from shul, from school, from just being dibuk chaverim, being together with our friends. Shiurim. It's going to come, we're only a little over a week by Lag Boimer. A lot of us go to be inspired Lag Boimer, and hopefully we'll be together Lag Boimer somewhere. But to think we might not have a Lag Boimer in such a way. Many for years I know go to Rav Moshe Weinberger's Lag Boimer. It could be inspiration for the entire year. And to think we might not have that. To think we might not have a Lel Shavuos. But even where we're at now, we're missing out on a lot of the opportunity of the outside hisoros, the outside chizik, the outside inspiration that we're so used to, that keeps us closely committed and connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. And there have been many, many that have been reaching out, men and women alike, struggling in ruchnius these days, with all the other struggles, but just in our spirituality, not having any outside source of inspiration. And that's very hard for all of us, every single one of us. But hopefully tonight that all changes. Hopefully tonight that all changes, because I want to give over a machshava tonight, a Torah tonight, that I hope and I believe will teach us how that in the long run, we will be able eventually, Bezal Hashem Yisbarach, to look back at this tekufa, which we hope comes to an end very soon. Look back and say this was the most inspirational time of my life. That I will look back at this time and say that I lit a fire that was never extinguished. In a way that I've never been able to before, because I've always had the outside chizik. I've always had the outside zoras, whether it was in seminary or even post in just shiurim that I go to and just friends that give me inspiration by being around. Or just going to shul on Shabbos. That too can be inspirational. Now I don't have any of that. So it has to come from within me. It has to be so real. It has to be so sincere in a way that we've never been asked before for this long period of time. And if we could do it now, and we could be mechazik ourselves in the situation we're in now, we could build a closeness to Hashem that can last a lifetime. Because trust me, we're going to need it. Life is full of challenges. Life is full of nisyonos. Life has its beautiful moments and its more difficult moments. And if we could build that kesher, that relationship with Hashem, that is unwavering and not dependent on anyone else, and not dependent on anything else, and not dependent on some outside source of chizik and isoras, I'm good to go for life. Halavai, not that we want this, and we do want to be back in this situation. I don't mean that. We could simultaneously want it, but also make the most of where we are. And build something so special that we'll look back and say, Baruch Hashem, I had that time in my life to truly find this deep, real, meaningful relationship with Hashem that I bring with me wherever I am, every moment of my life, and one day I'll give over to my children and my grandchildren, Amir Tzashem. So let's learn together and let's build that together. Let's create that. Let's build that within ourselves in the most special of ways. And a few weeks ago, we had Pesach, and Pesach was really the beginning of Sfiras Omer. This is all one long parsha. Sfiras Omer that we're in the middle of is just a continuation of Pesach until we reach Shavuos, which is one long time period. Pesach, Sfiras Omer, and Shavuos. I speak about this very often. I'm sure we shared this idea before. The Ramban says it's like looking at one big Yontiv. With the first days of Yontiv being Pesach, all of Sfiras Omer being Chol HaMoed, and Shavuos being the last days of Yontiv. All one big Yontiv of Cheres, of freedom, physical freedom from Mitzrayim, and then spiritual freedom with acceptance of the Torah. It's all one long process. So let's go back to Pesach for a moment. And I want to read you just two lines in a Gemara. It's found in Pesachim, Davav Amabez. Amar Rav Elazar, Elazar says, Shnei Devarim, there are two things, Einon Birishuso Shel Adam, V'asum HaKosuv, Ki'ilu Birishuso. There are two things that are not really in our Rishus. We don't really own it, but the Torah makes it as if it's in our Rishus, as if we own it. There are two things, again, we don't really halachically own it, but it's as if we own it. What are these things? Ve'eluhem, these are them. Bor birshus harabim. Bor birshus harabim is a pit, a hole in a public domain. We'll get back to that in a moment. And v'chometz, mishay shol sulamala, from Erev Pesach in the afternoon, chometz at chatzos. Those are two things. A bar, brishos, rabim, and chametz are not ours, but the Torah makes it as if it's ours. Now, pashup shot, what does that mean? Let me just explain the simple understanding. We'll start with the bar, the pit. You go out into the middle of the street. You don't own the middle of the street. But if you go and you build and you dig a hole in the middle of the street, you create a bar, you create a pit in the middle of the street. You dig a hole in the middle of the street, and someone, God forbid, falls into that pit and gets damaged. What's the halacha? You're responsible. You were the damager. You created that.
It's as if you own that pit and your pit damaged somebody else. Your hole damaged someone else. So you don't actually own it. It's public domain. But the Torah says, halachically, it's as if it's yours. So to chametz, once Pesach comes, or even Erev Pesach Echatzos, none of us officially own chametz. Because chametz is aser. You're not allowed to do anything with it. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to benefit from it. It's gone. It's really not yours. But if you didn't sell it or get rid of it or burn it, and you still have it in your domain, the Torah says you're responsible and you're over on Isurim. It's as if it's yours. So those are two entities that are not really yours, but the Torah says it's as if you're yours, and you're responsible for them. That's a simple understanding. But let's learn it deeper. Listen to this, Mamish Chevra, listen to this. The Chidushi Harim, Rav Itcher Meyer, Alter, he was the first Gerer Rebbe. The Chidushi Harim says as follows. There's a famous Gemara in Brachos, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that Chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. The Chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says it explicitly, because what is Chametz? The Yetzer Hara, Chametz is really just flour and water, just like matzah. But it's puffed up in this beautiful challah. It makes it look incredible. You break it down, it's just flour and water. That's what the Yetzer Hara does to us. The Yetzer Hara, our evil inclination, it creates temptations in our life, things that seem incredible. I need to have that, and I need to be in this situation and doing this, even though the Torah tells me not, because it would be awesome. If I could do that, life would be incredible. It's really nothing. But the Torah, the Yetzer Hara, tries to make it exciting, just like chametz. So chametz represents the Yetzer Hara, symbolic of the Yetzer Hara. So what does the Gemara say? Comes Pesach, and Hashem says, even though it's generally not, it's something that's not in your rishus, I put it in your rishus. What does that mean? Usually it's not yours, now it is yours. What does it mean it's yours? It means you have the ability to grab onto it. You have the ability to rule over it. You have the ability to be strong upon it. It's yours, I put it in your hands. Even though all year long it's not. That's what Chiddush Harim says. That the Torah says this is generally, it's not yours, but I make it that as if it is yours. Meaning what? All year long, the Yetzer Hara gets the best of us so often, because it's so hard to control. He's so strong, he has such tactics. He convinces us and plays with our mind to rationalize, and this is not a big deal. It's not a big deal that we make our brachas so quickly. At least I make brachas. It's not a big deal to speak Lashon Hara, because let's be real, I daven every day and I'm sneeze, I do everything else, so I don't do that. The Yetzer Hara plays all different things with my mind. He gets the best of us. Comes one time a year, Pesach, the Chametz is in our Rishus, meaning what? I could overpower the Yetzer Hara. Because Pesach comes and it's Lel Seder. And it's Lel Seder, we think back, was a few weeks ago, feels so long ago. And we remember all the miracles Hashem did for us, and the crossing of the Yamsuf, and all the spectacular makos. And I sit Lel Seder by my Seder with my family, and I go through all the Dayenus, and we realize, what do we focus on? All that Hashem does for us, and how credible Hashem is in my life. And then Kabbalistically and spiritually, even if we don't fully grasp, Hashem gives us this tremendous aura, this crazy light. And I have the strength to defeat the Yetzer Hara. I have the strength to defeat the Yetzer Hara in a way that maybe all year I can't. It's in my Rishus. I could do it. Because I've been inspired by Pesach. Because I remember that I owe everything in the world to the Ribbono Shalom. Everything in the world I owe to the Ribbono Shalom. He does everything for me. Dayenu. If He just gives me my health, Dayenu. If He just gave me family, Dayenu. If He just gave me a home, Dayenu. Think about Dayenu, 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 all Pesach, one big Dayenu. Tamamish, Dayenu. Unbelievable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're amazing. So I'm going to give it now to my Yetzer Hara. I have the strength. And then again, there's this deeper aura, this light, Hashem gives it to us. But the truth is, like everything else, when we're inspired, we lose it. Maybe Lel Seder I had it, maybe during Pesach I had it, but it was gone. So what do we have to do? We have to rebuild it. And that's where the Yemei Sfira come. That's where the days of Sfira Somer. The days of Sfira Somer are rebuilding what we felt on Pesach night, are earning what we felt on Pesach night through our toil, through our effort. Because Hashem gives us a glimpse so we could taste it and feel it and know it. And we've all had that glimpse at times. Whether it was a Friday night by the Kaisel, whether it was a big Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. Whatever the moment was, we've all had those moments where Hashem gives us that aura, that light, that glimpse. And I'm all good. I'm like, I will never do anything not perfect in Avodas Hashem again. We've all felt that. We've all felt it. Let's be real. Whatever that moment was, we all felt it. But it's waning. We lose it. So Pesach, Hashem gave it to us again. But then Svira, day by day, I have to earn it. I have to grow. I have to work on myself through my action, through my earning of that. And we're going to discuss how. We'll see. And exactly what this means for us this year. But that's what you make Svira, days of building, to getting back to that. And when you earn it, it's so much more precious, and it's so much more real, authentic, and it's something that I won't lose because I've earned it, and I've grown into it, and I've put time and effort and Amela's toil into it. Let me give you a mashal, a parable, to understand the difference between Pesach and why it doesn't stick with us. But if we do it during Sfira, if we do it right now, what we're supposed to be doing in our relationship with Hashem, it can stick with us forever. Forever, mamish. There was once a father, and this father had a son. And this family, they were very, very wealthy, very rich family. And his son was very spoiled and was living it up throughout the teenage years, living it up, enjoying every single moment. Never worked a day in his life. Eventually, he's in his young 20s, and the father said, you know, it's time to teach this kid. He has to be able to learn how to earn a living. He's going to get married. He has to support a family. I don't want him to live off me my whole life. For his own productivity and meaning and purpose. So he tells his son, tomorrow I want you to go out and go out and find a job and work. Tells him, I want you to at least earn $100 a day, just to show me you can do it. Just to show me you can do it. I want you to at least earn $100 a day. Now the son, he's lazy, he's spoiled. And, you know, probably grew up in the Five Towns, Amevin Yavin, whatever it was. And, listen, I grew up in the Five Towns, so I'm allowed to knock on it a little bit. I know what it is. I don't just teach here and get close to you here. I grew up here myself. Anyways, so he wasn't going to work. He's not ready to work. He's chilling. He's got his parents' credit card his whole life. He's driving a nice car. I'm not to go out and work and put it. It's not for him. So he goes to his mother. See, his mother was very sympathetic. He was a mommy's boy, you know. She's probably chvestish. Maybe he was the youngest. And he knows he has his mother's heart. He had his mother. His mother would melt anything he would ask. So he goes to his mother. He says, Ma, you know, Daddy wants me to go work tomorrow and put in effort somewhere and get a job and bring home you and I both know that's not for me. Let's be real. I'm waiting one day so he'll give me a few of his buildings and I'll hire someone to manage them. That will be my... Let's be real. I'm not going and finding a job. What am I going to sell coffees at Starbucks? What do you want from me? He says, Ma, do me a favor. You have $100 for me. I'll go out. I'll spend the day outside. I'll walk around. I'll do my thing. I'll come back and I'll pretend I made $100. It'll all be good. And his mother, you know, his mother had this soft place in her heart and gives him the $100. No problem. He goes out. He spends the day. He meets up with some friends. Goes out to eat. Walks around to a bunch of the stores to be seen out there. Okay. Comes back home at the end of the day. Sees his father and says, I did it, I put in the time, here I earned $100, see? Wants to make his father proud. His father looks at him, mamish, with the eyes of disgust. You lied to me. You didn't earn one penny, you didn't work one moment. And the father goes, and in front of his face, he takes the $100 bill, rips it into pieces, shreds it. And the son doesn't even say anything, just walks away. Mamish just walks away. Goes to his mother. Ma, I don't know. You know, dad knew somehow it was a bad plan. I guess tomorrow, I don't know, I can't do it, but I might have to go work. And they're talking, and the mother says, you know, she says, I didn't say a word. You know, right away the mother says, I didn't say a word, don't think it was me. It must be. You know, you're out and about. He asked some of his friends. They all said, they saw you out, they saw you hanging out with your friends, they saw you didn't work. So him and his mother come up with a plan. The next day, again, his mother will give him $100. But he'll just go and he'll hide out somewhere for the day. Go to his friend's house, just play Xbox all day. And then he'll come home, he won't be seen. That's what he does. Comes home at the end of the day, he says, okay, dad, today I did it, here's the $100. The father, again, mom, you could see like the smoke coming out of his ears, you know? He says, you liar, again, I can't believe it. And takes the $100, rips it up into pieces. And the son, embarrassed, just walks away from his father. And the next day he goes, and he actually goes out. And he goes from store to store till he finds a job. And he's there, he's working a very petty job, cleaning tables and doing and working hard and waitering or whatever it was. And he literally, after working a 12-hour day, he earns his $100. And he comes home, and he says, Dad, I did it. I earned $100. Here it is. And the dad says, again, you're lying. He gets angry again. You're lying to me again. And he says, I'm going to rip this $100 again. And he's about to rip it up. And right when he's about to do it, the son starts screaming, yelling, no, I promise you, please don't rip my money. And the father gets very calm and hands the $100 to his son. He says, finally, now I know you put in the work. Now I know you put in the effort. And the son looks so confused. What just happened? The father says, the first 2 days when I got angry and I was about to rip your money, you didn't say a word. I knew there's no way you put in effort. There's no way you earned that. It wasn't meaningful to you. You didn't care about the $100. You obviously got it somewhere without any effort, without any work. But here, for the first time, it meant something to you because you put in the effort, because you put in the work. You were connected to it. You built a kesher with it. You didn't want to disconnect from it. I knew it was true. So too, Hashem gives us glimpses and times in the Pesach to inspire us, to get us close to Him, because we need those pictures of ourselves of who we could be and remind us who we want to be. But ultimately, we need to earn that relationship. And it's when we earn it that it's meaningful and it sticks with us. And it will be a kesher shel kayama. And that's these days. That's these days of Sfiras HaOmer. That's the days we are in the middle of right now, each and every one of us, to work on ourselves, to put in effort, and to earn that beautiful relationship with Hashem. So that we can live Lel Seder and be one with Hashem always. Every moment of our lives. And I believe, Chevra, and I want you to listen, I believe this year, this Sfiras HaOmer, more than any other Sfiras HaOmer in our generation. In our generation. Definitely in my lifetime. And why is that? Because we don't have the outside influences. We don't have the outside help, which are the momentary inspiration. It has to all come deep. It has to all come from within us. It has to be so real and so authentic, like never before. I need to work on it, because I'm alone. I'm in his bodhis. We're all in his bodhis. We're all in solitude. It has to be real. It has to be through hard work, if I'm going to feel close to Hashem now. If I'm going to daven with kavan every day now, it's got to be real. If I'm going to still feel close to Hashem, it's got to be real. It's got to be through amelus, through hard work, through earning it myself. And I can have that relationship more than ever now. I'm going to explain to you how. I saw a line from the Heilige Divrei Yisrael. The Divrei Yisrael was the first Majitzer Rebbe. Majitzer Rebbe, he's very famous for his Nigunim. He sang beautiful songs, Majitzer and Nigunim. And he has a line, he says the following, I'm going to read it to you. And I saw this line, and I can't stop thinking about this line, Chevra. He said, "Hinei
Gan Eden she Yisrael, hu bashamayim. Behold, this first part's not a chiddush. The Gan Eden, the paradise Gan Eden of Klal Yisrael v'as is in heaven. That's where Gan Eden is now. V'Gan Eden shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't want to know where the paradise of Hashem is? The Gan Eden of Hashem? B'toich Yisrael. It's in every single one of us. As the very famous pasuk says, V'asali migdash v'shachanti b'soichem. Doesn't say, make for me a Beis HaMikdash, a Mishkan, and I will dwell b'socho in it. It says, make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell b'socham, in them, in us. The Gan Eden of Hashem is within us. You know, we want to be near Hashem in Shemayim, basking in His light and His glory, and living it up, the pleasures like we can't imagine. He wants to be in Gan Eden. You know where He wants to be? In our hearts. In us. Hashem wants to live within us. And not within shul, and not within wherever we go to our shiurim, and not in Lawrence Middle School on Lag BaOmer night, and not Lel Shavuos wherever we've been in the past. No, that's not where He wants to be. He wants to be in each and every one of us. He wants to be inside me. And He can be inside me in my bedroom in Woodmere, New York. Wherever I am, Hashem could be within me. That's His Gan Eden. Do you hear this? It's an explicit Rashi, it happens to be, which is incredible, in Parshas Bechukosai. In Parshas Bechukosai, in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, Pasuk says, V'nasati mishkani b'soichachem, a very similar Pasuk to that I quoted. And I placed my Mishkan b'soichachem in you, in them, in us. V'lo sigal nafshi eschem, and my spirit will not reject you, meaning Hashem wants to be within us and not reject us. And He continues, v'salachti b'soichem, and I will walk, some translate amongst you, but b'soichem, within you. What does that mean? And look at, if you look at Rashi there, in Chukosai Chavav Yud Beis, what does it mean Hashem will walk b'soichem in you? Listen to this lashon, it's Rashi. It's crazy Rashi. Atayel imchem b'gan Eden. I will stroll with you in Gan Eden. On the words of Esalchi b'soichem, in you. I'll stroll in Gan Eden with you. Meaning, where's Hashem's Gan Eden? In you. We want this Gan Eden in Shemayim. Hashem's Gan Eden is in each and every one of us. Hashem could be and is within us. And that's where He wants to be. And He wants to be within us right now. And that's what we need to build during these Yimei Sfira. That relationship. I'm not talking about Vada. We have to daven with Kavana and Brachos with Kavana and Sneers. And forget about it, but forget about all that. Forget the details. Sometimes we get so caught up in the details. We get so caught up in the Halachas. We forget the core. The core is a relationship with Hashem. The core is feeling Hashem with us every moment. The core is realizing I could be the Gan Eden of Hashem and Hashem is within me. That takes the deepest emunah bitachon, tremendous emunah bitachon. Emunah bitachon on the highest of levels. To really believe Hashem could be within me every moment, that's His Gan Eden. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a very special matana. If you take the gematria of emunah plus bitachon, Amunah plus Bitachon is 171, exactly gematria, Gan Eden. I always thought, because I'll feel that I'm in Gan Eden when I have Amunah. I'll feel like I'm with Hashem. If I have that level of Amunah Bitachon, Hashem will find His Gan Eden. And His Gan Eden's within each and every one of us. I could be with Hashem every single moment. I have to believe it, I have to know it. I have to live it. You know, there was once a very big tzaddik, Chaskul Abramsky. And Chaskul Abramsky, he was sent to Siberia. Terrible. Siberia was freezing cold, mamish, freezing cold like we've never known. And he was stripped of every drop of Yiddishkeit that he had.
They took his tefillin, and they took his tzitzis, and they took his yarmulke, and his siddur, and his svarim. He had nothing. Nothing. He woke up one morning, ready to say Moidani. He woke up one morning ready to say Moidani. And he starts Moidani l'fanecha melechai v'kayam. As we start our day, always thanking Hashem. Moidani l'fanecha melechai v'kayam, thanking Hashem. And he started to think about it. What does he have to be thankful for? Now, he wasn't talking about his lacking of gashmias, that he didn't have materialistic luxuries at this point in his life, that was taken away from him. He could do without that. He wasn't like you or I. He was okay without that. But he didn't have his tefillin, he didn't have his tzitzis, he didn't have a sitter, he didn't have a svarim, he didn't have a gemara, he had nothing. It's like, what am I being thankful for? All my ruchnias was taken away from me. Maidani v'nech melchai v'kayam. So you gave me my neshama back. Wonderful, but lemaisa, I got nothing to give you, God. I can't do anything. I got nothing, he's thinking. Mamash had a dilemma. And he got to the last words, Rabba Munasecha. Now, Pashup said, the way we seemingly must understand Rabba Munasecha is Hashem's Amuna in us. Rabba Munasecha is your Amuna in me. But it also reminds us of Amuna, of the great Amunah we're supposed to have. And he said to himself, I might not have tefillin, and I might not have tzitzis, and I might not have a sitter, and I might not have svarim, but I could have Amuna. I could have Amuna every moment. I could have Hashem by my side every moment. What greater mitzvah than that? Thank you, Hashem, because no matter what, I always can have Amuna. And he started smiling and singing Modani. We might not have our friends like we're used to. We may not have shul. We may not have school. We might not end up by some beautiful Lag BaOmer Mesibur, Chagiga, we may not have a Shavuos in Shul. I don't know what's going to be. We're at home, we're in spiders, we're in Tzal. We have Amuna. And we have the Hashem's Gan Eden, right here. Right here, Hashem's Gan Eden, right here. How incredible. You know, when the Beis HaMikdash was finally built by Shlomo HaMelech, if you look in Melachim Aleph, Malachim Aleph, Perek Ches, Pasuk Nun Zayin. Shlomo HaMelech davins, and he says, Yihi Hashem Elokeinu Imanu Kasher Hoya Im Avoseinu. That he was hoping that Hashem would be with us in the Beis HaMikdash, like he was by our forefathers, by Avram, by Yitzchak, by Yaakov. Al Yazveinu V'al Yitcheinu. Don't forsake us, don't leave us, don't cast us away. What was going on here? Why would he, what is he talking about, Shlomo HaMelech? He should be with us like he was by Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Last time I checked, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov didn't have a Mishkan, didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, didn't have a home of God. This is even greater, this is incredible. This is like something that never was before. And why? Right, why is he asking he should be with us like he was then? Then he wasn't here. Now he is here in ways like no other time in history. They didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. Avram wasn't able to go Beis HaMikdash and see Hashem there. So we should have, and he should be with us the way he was then. He should be with us much greater than ever before. It's question number one. Question number two. Why is he right away saying, don't forsake us, don't leave us? Like, this is Chanukah Samishkan of Beis HaMikdash. It's all Simcha. This is incredible. Right away saying, and by the way, don't get rid of us. Imagine a chassan and kala under your chuppah. We have some married women with us. They can remember those Bishatov in the right time. Everyone in the right time will feel and know what this is. Everyone with the right person at the right time. Imagine one is under the chuppah, that highlight of one's life, such an exciting time. All you need, by the way, a chassan and kala and the Rabbeinu Shalom. We learned that more than ever over the last few weeks. And it's mamish the most special moment until that point in your life. And the chassan says, Harayah mekudesh is lipa d'bazu, k'das moishiv Yisrael. He says to his wife, you're mekudesh asli, you're made holy to me. What a beautiful moment, standing under the chuppah, you have shav brachos. Imagine then, the husband whispers to his wife,
you know, I don't want you to ever divorce me. Like, don't ever divorce me. Let's not talk divorce. It would be a very strange thing to say. Like, it's all simcha. It's all good. We're excited. So it's like right there, that moment, Al yazveinu v'al yitcheinu, don't forsake us. So the Baal HaKeda was a great tzaddik. He says as follows, to answer both questions, why was he asking for Hashem's presence like by the Avos, even though they never had a Beis HaMikdash? And why was he, Shlomo HaMelech, immediately saying, don't get rid of us? It's true, the Avos didn't have a Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan. They had the Ribbono Shel Olam within themselves. They had the Ribbono Shel Olam Shechanti B'Soichem. They didn't need a Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan. They didn't need a Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan. They walked with Hashem every moment. They were walking with Hashem every moment. They didn't need to go there to find Him. They didn't need the outside inspiration. He was with them. Shlomo Melech was afraid, as beautiful as the Beis HaMikdash is, as incredible as it is to have a makom where he could serve Hashem with all the karbanos and the ketores and the menorah, Simchas Beis HaShoeva. He was afraid Klal Yisrael would lose that personal relationship wherever we are. So he davened right away, Yishem El Keni Manu Kachar HaYem HaSeinu. Don't leave that relationship, that Gan Eden within us. Be with us always. Al Yazveinu V'al Yitcheinu. Don't leave us from within us, even though now you have this home. Now you have this home, we'd be afraid you're not going to be with me anymore. God forbid. And this is what we could have. And this is what I believe we could have more than ever before in our lives right now. This is what we could build during Yemei Svira. This relationship with Hashem that's not dependent on anything. That's within me every moment. Sometimes having shul, having shirim to go to, having all these type of things is a crutch. And then I forget to find Him within myself. He explains this, B'derech Mashal, and he says, and I'll read you a little bit of what he says from Parshas Vayeshev. He says, Ke'es asher anachnu begolus hamar. Now us in Golus, and now us during the Golus, we're within Golus at this point in history, is even greater. Yesh b'nei adam shezochim l'ruach hakodesh, you could have divine inspiration, bikal yoser, much easier, mibnei hanavim, from the times of the prophets. I'm going to explain it outside, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, being that you don't have it in front of you. He goes on to explain. He says, if you read the Rambam and other places, for a Navi to get prophecy, he had to do crazy preparation and had to get himself in this perfect mindset of holiness. You know what that was? Because when Hashem's living in His palace, so imagine, B'derech Mashal, when a king's in his palace, if you want the king to come to your house, you invite the king for a meal to your house. You think the king's just going to come? Maybe if you do crazy preparation and you have the most incredible suda and the most incredible guest there and there's real meaning, maybe then he'll come. So you have to get to that point where the king's willing to come to your house. It's very rare. Why would he come unless you're one of his members of perfection? But when the king is out in the streets traveling and he needs somewhere to stay overnight, needs somewhere to eat a meal, he finds a house that's just a clean house, a nice, decent place to sleep, he's willing to go there. So when he had a Beis HaMikdash, in his Zman of Beis HaMikdash, Hashem was in his Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't so simple to have Nevuah. You had to be mamish on a level like we can't understand in such preparation. But now that Hashem is in Galus with us, it's even easier to connect to Him. It's even easier to be one with Him. You know why? Because He's within us. That's where His Gan Eden is. Let's remember, we say this, getting back to Rav Cheskel Abramsky's Moida'ani. When we say Moida'ani every morning, every single morning, Moida'ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayem, you know the first thing we thank Hashem, and we therefore realize and recognize and admit to? Shechazarta b'nishmasi. You gave me back my soul. First thing you say in the morning, that we all say, and let's think about this tomorrow morning, along with thinking about the Muna, Rabba Muna Secha, Shechazarti Min Shmasi, Hashem, you gave me back my soul. So what's a soul? Sounds like a very, you know, spiritual, esoteric. You know, the soul is just very simply. The Baal Tanya tells us, Chelek Eloka Mimal Mamish. It's part and parcel of God. It's God within us. It's God living His Gan Eden. Meaning Hashem is within us. We say it every morning, and we have to believe that. We wake up in the morning and say, Hashem is with me. I'm with Hashem. I don't need shul or this or that. We love that, and it's exciting, it's beautiful. But I have Him within me. And if I could really live with that, you know what type of simcha I could have in life? I remember everything that happens to me is from Hashem. And it's all good. Whatever challenge comes my way, whatever I'm going through, Hashem is with me. Hashem is here. He's besoichachem. He's in His Gan Eden. I have to believe that. And then my avodas Hashem will be a different avodas Hashem. I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently. You don't think I'm going to daven differently if I really believe that Hashem is with me? I'm going to make brachas differently. I'm going to treat people differently. I'm going to dress differently. That will be the outbirth of it all. So it's very simple, Chevra. You know what we need to be working on now? Rebuilding, getting back to that level of a Pesach. Getting back to that level of a Pesach. And earning this during Yimei Svira. But just by recognizing Hashem is within me, He's living in His Gan Eden every moment. And what's the avod in that? It's very simple. How do I get, you think, okay, it's beautiful for sure, but how do I really live that? How do I get that? That's what I want. Yeah, you're talking to me. This is what I want. Just start thinking about it. Start believing in it. From the moment you wake up and you say, Modani, think that Hashem is within me. And every time you make a bracha, you think I'm making a bracha to Hashem, to thank Hashem, because He's within me. He's here. He's listening. He's with me. I'm davening really to Hashem. To really just start thinking about that. Not just going through the motions of mechanical road Judaism, but every mitzvah I do and everything I do is just thinking about Hashem within me and with me. It's a different life, man. It's a different life. It's amazing. It's a life of simcha, it's a life of avoda, it's a life of Gan Eden. We'll find Gan Eden and we'll open up Gan Eden for the Rabbi Nishalom, like the Divrei Yisrael says. How incredible. And this is what we can achieve during these Yimei Svira, each and every one of us. You know, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Ches, Amud Beis, there's a lot of discussion between the elders of Athens, the great Greek philosophers, and Rav Shua ben Levi. And when they ask him one question, they ask Rav Shua ben Levi, they're trying to show that he's not so smart, and he's proving them wrong time and time again. And they say, where's Mitziyasa da Alma Hecha? Where's the middle of the world? Mitziyasa da Alma Hecha. Where's the middle of the world? And he sticks out his finger, says, right here. Right here. So they ask him, yeah, right. How do you know it's right here? He says, go bring measuring sticks and measure out the world. You'll see it's right here. And most understand the conversation. He was making leitzanis. He was making a fool of them and saying, like, right here. Like, I don't know that. Who knows that? Nobody knows exactly the center of the world. Come on. That's how most understand the Gemara. Rav Mordechai Yosef Ishbitzer explains. Ishbitzer says something so deep and so beautiful. There's a Gemara in Yuma that says that, you know what the center of the world is? The center of the world is by the Beis HaMikdash, which is where Hashem always is. And you know what they were really asking? Where's the center of the world? Where could we find Hashem in this world? Where could we find Him? He stuck out a finger and he pointed to His heart. It's right here. I mean, Hashem is right here. Hashem is right here. All the inspiration, the world that I need, all the chizik, all the soritz, it's all right here. I have it within me. I don't need all the outside. And there's no time in history that we could understand that more so than now, when we're in a certain sense forced to understand it. But this is a bracha. And if we think about this and live this and build this feeling and this understanding during these days, it could be the greatest inspiration of our lives. As I said before, we're going to look back and say, I've lit a fire now like I've never lit before that will last my whole life. It will never be extinguished. Because it's not dependent on anything. I found it within myself. I got it. I found it. the Hilge B'nei Yisachar. B'nei Yisachar asks, why is it that the first night of Sfiras HaOmer, those, I know there's a big discussion, women count these Sfiras HaOmer, I think most people count these days, even women, I'm not going to get into it right now. Anyone wants to talk about that halachically could reach out to me anytime. But those, the first night of Sfiras HaOmer, when you count, you make a bracha, and you count, you don't make Shachianu. Usually when we haven't done a mitzvah in a long time, in close to a year, we make a Shachianu. Why don't we make a Shachianu? There are a lot of answers. B'nei Yisachar says, based on what we're talking about tonight, he says, because on Pesach, you reach this high level of spirituality, and then it dropped, and all through his Omer, you're rebuilding it. So then you're going to make a Shachianu. Baruch Hashem that I dropped, and I need to rebuild this. I wish I was still up there. You don't make a Shachianu. There's no simcha in needing Sfiras HaOmer. He says, when do you make Shachianu? Shachianu is a happiness and a joy that you gain something. You make a Shachianu at the very end after you built it all. Leil Shavuos, we're going to make a Shachianu. That Shachianu, he says, not just on Shavuos. It's on all of my growth, on all 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer. The Shachianu, we're going to say Shavuos on what we're doing right now. Let's make sure each and every one of us can make a Shachianu when it comes to Shavuos. That we're proud of who we've become during these days, these big days of growth. That we could say, I'm a different person. I'm a totally different Jew. I'm a person and I'm changed forever. Because it's a new type of inspiration that's not from the outside, but it's from within. Because I found Hashem living within myself. I created that Gan Eden within myself. And I think about Hashem and all that I do. And you'll see that will itself have an effect on everything that I do. And on my constant, consistent Simchas HaChaim. So Be'ez Hashem, we should all be Zoicha. So Mekayim, what the Divrei Yisrael says, Hine Gan Eden shel Yisrael hu b'shamayim, v'Gan Eden shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'toich Yisrael. And we should feel that during these days of Sfirah. We should live that during these days of Sfirah. To Zoicha, Mirz Hashem, that Hashem sees that we got this message, and we built it so we don't need this machla anymore. Hashem will bring Yeshua, and He could at any moment. This could be over tomorrow morning. We could wake up tomorrow morning, they'll say they have a vaccine, and it's perfect, and everybody, well, no, I know it doesn't sound normal and natural, and it might not, but it might, yes, we're Yidden, we believe it's a possibility. Maybe Hashem's just waiting for us all to get this message, and to live this life with Him, and to know that He's within me every moment. And to live with them in a real way for the rest of my life. And then we'll be Zoicha to be able to get to Shavuos and say a real Shachianu. And thank Hashem for reaching such a milestone where I'm one with Him in everything we do. So Be'ez Hashem is Baruch each and every one of you. Don't stop growing during these days, Svira. Don't stop feeling Hashem by your side every moment. Keep your head up high knowing you're walking around as Gan Eden of Hashem. What a schus! Until we're Zoicha that Hashem then will be able to be within us, but also build Beis HaMikdash with Mashiach Zidkenu, Bimheru Bimenu, Bekarov Mamash.